it's been well over a month, although my intent of bringing Sans News Bites has been tried and failed when we were starting to try and get back into things at the beginning of October. The current recording date is November 15th, 2025, and we are taking from the newsletter, which is going to be November 14th, 2025. We might as well just stay current. We're not going to try and do all of these past newsletters. It does take time to get these newsletters put into Braille. My thoughts put together, whether I write them up because I'm reading the newsletter and making adjustments to the Braille to read correctly, or as correct as I can make it, unless I spot something after the fact, like I did with one of my A Day in the Life programs, where I should have used the grade 1 symboling to signify this as an acronym. Should have done that. Oops. Well, it's a live and learned experience. What do we learn after the fact? This is what we've got to do. This is Sans News Bites, annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. November 14th, 2025, volume 27, number 84. Go to sans.org/newsletters if you would like to see all of their newsletters, or you can get a link to this particular newsletter by getting it in our show notes. I am feeling so much better, although there has been still the cough. I tell you what, it's not as bad as it once was, although I still have my days. I am definitely doing a lot better. Hopefully I can keep the Sans News Bites going, and we can sort of get back onto a regular news schedule. If you have comments for me before I start reading and commenting on the various news items, let me give you some contact information. This podcast can be used either by sending an email to tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Or, since we do play this on the independent channel, you can use that contact info, email or iMessage, J-A-R-E-D-R-I-M-E-R, at 986themix.com. If you are the voicemail type and you would just like to leave a common voicemail, you can dial 888-405-7524. If you would rather use an application and you would like to text or you would like to voice message, use 804-442-6975 for WhatsApp. I can receive voice messages through the 804 number, but I have to hear those messages on the computer, so it would be best to use WhatsApp for voice messaging through the 804 telephone number, and I appreciate it. So let's start with the table of contents. Top of the news, CISA warns FCEBs of incomplete patching for exploited Cisco flaws. UK cybersecurity and resilience bill expands scope of NIST requirements. And Google sues phishing as a service Lighthouse. And that one's actually quite interesting. I think I saw an article on this. I don't remember if it got blogged, but I know I do need to blog, and there's quite a bit to blog, and we will be doing that, as well as getting these podcasts out. And I know I've not been posting podcast announcements lately either. So we need to get back into doing quite a lot of things that we've been neglecting lately. The rest of the week's news include the following items. Patch Tuesday, Microsoft, Adobe, Cisco, and Ivanti. Well, what's new with Ivanti? I mean, we've been talking about them ever since I started Sans News Bites and doing that on a regular. Seems like they're still having problems. So, we'll find out what they're up to. The next item is SAP, or SAP, security updates include fixes for critical flaws, KEV, Samsung, WatchGuard, Microsoft, and Gladinet, Trifox. And I did remember this was Trifox, Triofox. It's TRIOFOX, and maybe if I would have known this, I would have fixed this, because I would expect this in UEB, but this is an eBay produced file, so I don't know exactly where it gets Triavox, which is what it seems to be, but I believe this is Triofox. Next, unsecure digital photo frames demonstrate Android ecosystem fragmentation. Synovus concludes 2024 ransomware attack investigation and begins notification process. Operation Endgame takes down Rhodomontis. This is Venom Rat and Elysium infrastructure in international efforts. And that's our last item. If you would like a Braille copy of this and you would rather read, please feel free to contact me and I will supply you one. If you would like a Unified English Braille copy instead of an English Braille American Edition copy, please let me know so I can make you a proper file. I only have an English Braille American Edition file. Let me know if you would like a 40 cell or a 30 cell copy. Yes, folks, it is definitely raining again, and you may or may not be able to hear it outside of our studios / home, but it is raining hard again, and we are doing just fine on the third floor of the complex. If you are in the sound of my voice, please stay as safe as possible, and our prayers are with you, because we understand how bad it could be, especially in the rain, as bad as the rain has been as of late. And I do understand some snow storms and nor'easters have been throughout the U.S., so I'm thinking of all of us as I am talking to you right now. For those of you who are reading the Braille as well as listening to me talk, we are now on page 3, and I probably should have done the table of contents section as T pages, but I'm not going to change that at this time. It may be something I'll go back to. I need to remember how I've done this in the past and follow that protocol. It's been two months and some change since I've done a Sans News Bytes Braille file. But this will work for today. Again, we're on page 3. We're going to start with top of the news with CISA warns FCEBs of incomplete patching for exploited Cisco flaws. On Wednesday, November 12, 2025, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, issued an update to a September emergency directive to warn that federal agencies have incorrectly reported Cisco Secure Adaptive Security Appliance, ASA, and Firepower devices as patched against two actively exploited flaws. CISA has identified devices marked as patched in the reporting template, but which were updated to a version of the software that is still vulnerable to the threat activity outlined in the ED. CISA mandates that agencies address the flaws immediately and implement additional temporary risk mitigation instructions if still in the process of complying. The update emphasizes that agencies must update all ASA and Firepower devices, not just public-facing devices, to the latest patch immediately to avoid exploitation, and provides tables showing appropriate fixed software versions to ensure patches for both flaws. CVE 2025-2033 Remote Code Execution CVSS 9.9 and CVE 2025-20362 Privilege Escalation CVSS 6.5 are installed. Cisco published new advisories for the flaws on November 6 due to a newly observed attack, noting that the flaws had been exploited since May 2025. I write, read all of the comments by the editors. While I don't use any of these devices, I think people who do should go to the show notes, find the link to this newsletter, and read the editor's notes within the piece. Lots to digest here, and I decided to do it this way instead of quoting everything because they all have great points, and I'm not versed in this to really discuss it. All I'll say is that the 9.x flaw is a lot worse than the 6.x flaw, and I'm using x because it honestly doesn't matter if it's 0.9 or 0.8 or 0.0. The point is, the first number should be your baseline, not the second. Although the highest score, and we'll be talking about this in a little bit, is 10 on the CVSS score chart, where 0 is the lowest, meaning that they have to actually work at it, and 10 being the most problematic, where you don't necessarily have to do anything, but possibly receive something. You don't have to click. You don't have to really do. All you have to do is either go to a website that you may be expecting to go to, and or look at something in your inbox, which may trigger something within the program. So just some things to keep in mind. While I'm not versed in this, you don't want anything on your system that is vulnerable to a 9. A 6 might be tolerable, because they're at least going to be able to work at it. So, do the best you can do. UK Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill expands scope of NIS requirements. The UK Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill was introduced in Parliament earlier this week. The legislation, quote, will reform and add to the existing network and information systems, NIS, regulations, 2018, to increase UK defenses against cyber attacks. The NIS, by the way, that's the end of the quote. The NIS regulations apply to certain sectors of the UK economy, such as energy, transportation, healthcare, drinking water, and digital infrastructure, as well as online marketplaces, search engines, and cloud computing services. The Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill is intended to expand the scope of the NIS regulations to include data centers, managed service providers, large load controllers, and designated critical suppliers. It will require critical infrastructure operators to report harmful cyber breaches to regulators where they have the potential to cause significant impacts with initial notification within 24 hours and a fuller report within 72 hours. Additionally, if a data center, and in this case they have it spelled RE because it's UK spelling, or digital and managed service provider face a significant or potentially significant attack, they will have to notify customers which are likely to be impacted promptly, so organizations, and they spell it with an S, S-A-T-I-O-N-S, can act fast to protect their business, people, and services. Now, first of all, why isn't this more than just a UK thing? Why can't we, in theory, get this adopted by the UK, which is what they're going to do, but then other countries can learn what they're doing there and try and adopt other regulations for their countries. Because right now, we are still learning about breaches which are at least 1 year old. And yes, I've not done SANS in a month and some change, but I bet you if we end up going through all of those newsletters that we missed, we could, in theory, continue to be talking about breaches that happened 6 months, a year, 2 years, or more. It's time that the cybersecurity industry understand that no matter what country you're in, we don't want to know a year later that our stuff has been breached. We want to know as quickly as humanly possible. And I give companies the benefit of the doubt if they don't know that they've been breached for 6 months. But even if it took 6 months to be breached, as soon as your investigation is over and you determine the scope of the problem, what you've done to resolve the issue, how many people are affected, and anything else that you can share, it should be your responsibility to go ahead and let the public know. And if that means sending paper copies of a notice and email copies of a notice, then so be it. And I understand investigations can take a while, 6, 8 months maybe, depending on how severe it is. I get that. But the problem is that we have too many breaches that we don't know anything about. So we can't go to sites like Have I Been Pwned, Exposed or Not. Or you'll learn about another site in the Netherlands in a future article on this very newsletter that helps that region deal with breaches. I completely get it. We don't have a one-size-fits-all. But if legislation is passed in one country and it seems to work, other countries might be better off doing similar legislation for their country so that everybody can talk to each other and know what is going on. As I wrote in the paragraph after their entry on this item, I write, I like what Neely wrote here. I'll quote this as I think it makes sense and makes sure that people are notified quickly and efficiently. And he writes, critical services will be expected to notify of attacks promptly. Okay? They will be expected to notify of attacks promptly, to include more timely notification of affected customers, which one hopes will shorten the breach to notification interval. Moreover, the bill introduces mandatory cyber security standards, which are fully, which, when fully adopted, will help reduce the likelihood of successful compromise. The bill includes three levels of fines for non-compliance depending on severity. Non-material contraventions at £1 million. Material contraventions at £8.5 million. And material contraventions resulting in significant impact or risk to services at £17 million, as well as provisions for cost recovery, which should be the carrots and sticks needed for adoption. $17 million for screwing up. Perfect. Sign me up. Because so far, I've not had that problem in my business. And even if I did, I would be notifying people quickly and not wasting my time. Dukes also has good points, and yes, I just saw this spelling mistake, so if you're reading in the Braille, yes, I see this. And is short. He writes, an important piece of legislation for the UK and possibly a blueprint for other nations. This is exactly what I was talking about before I read both of these. Increased focus on critical infrastructure is required and has been for over a decade. Increasingly, both nation-state and cyber criminals are targeting the infrastructure that provides critical services to citizens. The one gap is requiring a minimum cybersecurity baseline for all sectors and providing an annual assessment of their resilience against attack. Let me know what you think. I think this is good. I think this is actually good. And it goes back to what I said before. If this passes and their results, then other countries should follow suit in this and adopt their own legislation to mandate these changes, especially in the critical sector. I don't run critical stuff, but I'm sure not going to wait a year or 6 months if I find out we had a breach. If it took 6 months for me to find out about it, that's one thing. But as soon as I have enough information to know what's going on, out it goes. That's the way it should be. We're never going to be 100% perfect, but what can we do to make sure we notify people that something went wrong? That's what I think this is about. Email iMessage tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or leave a comment on my comment line at 888-405-7524. Also, folks, while we've moved to the next page, I do want to let you know that if you are enjoying the podcast and we want to make sure that it is as thorough as can be by reading what is said by the editors, as well as forming our own opinions and, you know, making it a discussion, we want to hear from you. So make sure that you do have your voice. And if you want your voice heard on this cast, let me know. And if you enjoy it and you want to see the cast continue and you'd like to donate, then you may do so as well. You may learn more at jaredrimer.net. Go to the donations page where you can learn more about how to do that. This podcast is commercial free and sponsored by the Jared Reimer Network. Now, I want to wish Google good luck on this very interesting story. Google sues phishing as a service Lighthouse. Google LLC has filed a complaint in a New York district court seeking injunctive relief and damages against 25 unnamed defendants believed to be based in China who allegedly manage, quote, a powerful phishing software kit, end quote, known as Lighthouse. And that's also in quotes, and I'll say that I don't remember whether I've blogged this or whether or not I've posted this to CSB, but it definitely sounds familiar to me even before I read this newsletter. I read the headline and something tells me that it sounded familiar to me. Offered by subscription in both SMS and e-commerce versions, Lighthouse includes hundreds of templates for fraudulent websites mimicking legitimate pages. The filing notes a focus on U.S. targets, including a number of spoofed websites for U.S. institutions such as toll collection agencies, financial institutions, shipping companies, retail companies, and even state and local governments. And yes, I just realized both of those U.S.'s, by the way, should have been in grade one. I just noticed that now. I did go through this and must have missed it. It happens. The SMS version, quote, enables scammers to distribute mass text messages to thousands of targets, end quote. The e-commerce version distributes lures primarily via ads and social media and includes spoofed site templates aimed at stealing financial information, as well as a tool for creating new fraudulent sites or malicious storefronts on legitimate platforms. Lighthouse notifies its users if sites are flagged by Google or by browsers, and mimics MFA protection to deceive the target into confirming their payment card being added to a threat actor's digital wallet. We actually talked about that particular threat in other TSB and even Throwback Saturday Night content podcasts. So we definitely have some knowledge about this. Google alleges that a network of threat actor groups connected to one another through historical and current business ties, in quotes, collaborate to generate revenue using Lighthouse. Various branches focus on development, data brokering, spamming theft, money laundering, and administration, coordinating through Telegram. No kidding. Telegram, as TSB calls it, Telecrap. Oh boy. And again, people want to, you know, go to a service with no type of moderation. Telegram has over 80 million people. What? 30 employees, if that? And no moderation, no rules, no nothing? You'll never find me over there, even if I want to join groups of value like 98.6 The Mix, as an example, or at one of our DJs has a group over there. I'll stay off of there, because I know the scammers are there, and I've had enough issues between them on Facebook. I had a bunch of them on Clubhouse, and I know Twitter was full of them. Mastodon's starting to become full of them. But there's no need for me to be on Telegram, because it's just another one-on-one thing. And sure, if a scammer were to message me, and I've had a few of those too, on WhatsApp, I can block them and be done with them. And it's based on a phone number. If they really wanted to get back at me, they would have to change their number. And I don't know if they really are interested in doing that. And now that WhatsApp and Messenger or others are taking steps on making sure that we know what's going on and what could be a scam and everything else, I don't think Telegram will ever get to that point. And so we will have to see how this goes. Returning to text, it says the complaint describes known phishing schemes, spoofing sites for parcel delivery, roll tolls and tickets, financial institutions, and e-commerce sites. The legal basis of the complaint is harm done to Google's customer trust and goodwill because, quote, at least 116 spoofed website templates feature, and the E in feature is in either brackets or in parentheses, Google's branding or logos, also in parentheses, YouTube, Gmail, Google, or Google Play, close parentheses, on the sign-in screen in an attempt to make the fake websites appear legitimate, end quote. The filing alleges violation of the racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations RICO Act, the Lanham Act, and the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, calling for judgment including injunctions, relief, and damages. All of the editors who speak here have great points, but good luck, Google. Hopefully, this works out for you somehow. And let me apologize right now by saying, normally during podcasts like this, I put my phone either on Do Not Disturb or work mode, but because of the weather, I need to be aware of what's going on and everything, so in case there's something that tells me that I need to go, I'm getting these alerts. So I apologize for any alerts that might be heard during the podcast, and if I should need to go, the podcast will be released as soon as possible. I don't think I will need to leave, but I want to let you all know that I am getting alerts. And usually I don't have alerts during these podcasts, but I need them now because I need to know what's going on in case something happens where we get an alert stating that we need to go. And I will hear the alert clearly to make sure that it's not my area before I just up and go. Because some of those can come through the emergency alerts and so, that's what's going on. Let's go ahead and move now to the rest of the news. And we start with Patch Tuesday. Microsoft, Adobe, Cisco, and Ivanti. On Tuesday, November 11th, Microsoft released updates to address more than 60 vulnerabilities, including a high-severity Windows kernel flaw, CVE-2025-62215, that is being actively exploited. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security, CISA, has added this CVE to the known exploited vulnerabilities KEV catalog. The batch of Microsoft updates also includes fixes for several critical vulnerabilities, including a heap-based buffer overflow flaw in Microsoft graphics component, CVE-2025-60724, and a use-after-free issue in Windows DirectX, CVE-2025-60716. Other vendors have also published security updates this week. Adobe released fixes to address vulnerabilities in InDesign, InCopy, Photoshop, Illustrator, and other products. Cisco released 7 security advisories, including one to address a critical remote code execution vulnerabilities in Cisco Unified Contact Center Express, and Ivanti released updates for Ivanti Endpoint Manager to address 3 high-severity vulnerabilities. Neely writes, Get after your Microsoft, Adobe, Ivanti, and Cisco updates. These devices and applications are all targets for exploitable flaws. The Microsoft update addresses more than 80 vulnerabilities, 5 of which are rated critical. Adobe's update addresses multiple flaws in each impacted product, which have CVS scores from 5.0 to 7.8. Again, those are lower scores, but something to be concerned about. There may be needing you to do something to get you to get that running. But I know that 9s and 10s don't necessarily need that. So this is better between 5.8 and 7. Let's see, 5.0 and 7.8 are good, but you really don't want these vulnerabilities at all. Some of them you really don't want more than others. Note that both desktop and mobile app versions are impacted, so don't forget to check your mobile devices for updated versions. That's the advice I can give you. So, yeah. Get on it. Please feel free to contact me with questions, comments, concerns, thoughts. You want comments aired? Let me know. We move on now to SAP security updates include fixes for critical flaws. SAP has published 26 new or updated security notes, including one for a critical CVSS 10.0 hard-coded credentials issue. In the non-GUI variant of SQL Anywhere Monitor, CVE 2025-42890. A successful exploit poses the system's confidentiality, integrity, and availability at high risk. The patch removes the SQL Anywhere Monitor completely as a temporary workaround. SAP recommends to stop using SQL Anywhere Monitor and to delete any instances of SQL Anywhere Monitor database. Another security note addresses a critical CVSS 9.9 code injection vulnerability in SAP Solution Manager, CVE 2025-42887. The fix adds, and I don't know why they have it this way. This is the second time we've had the parentheses S or brackets S here, but adds an input check that rejects most of the non-alphanumeric characters. SAP has also updated a security note that addresses a critical 10.0 deserialization vulnerability in SAP. What is this? It's going to be NetWeaver. That was disclosed in October. And remember I said at the beginning of the program, we've got some 9s and 10s to worry about. And I write, these 9s and 10s aren't good. If you use these, read the editor's notes and get to work. That's all I'm going to say. Nines and tens are not good. Fives through sevens aren't great, but you're going to have to work at it. You know, zeros to fives, you're definitely going to need to work at it, and maybe it won't be a big deal. But you definitely don't want sevens, eights, nines, and tens. And I think your nines and tens are going to be the most biggest problem that you can ever have on any system, whether it's fully patched or not. Kev, Samsung WatchGuard, Microsoft, and Gladinet Trio Fox. This week, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, added four CVEs to the known exploited vulnerabilities Kev catalog. In addition to the high severity heap-based buffer overflow flaw in Microsoft Graphics component CVE 2025-60724, CISA added a critical out-of-bounds write vulnerability in WatchGuard Fireware OS CVE 2025-9242, a critical improper access control flaw in Gladinet Trio Fox CVE 2025-12480, and a critical out-of-bounds write in the Libimagic codec dot quorum dot so, I believe is what this is. It's Libimagecodec, and I believe it's dot quorum dot so. That's so library in Samsung mobile devices CVE 2025-21042. I heard this in text and I didn't know what the word was, so don't feel bad. The vulnerabilities have mitigation due dates of between December 1st and December 3rd for federal civilian executive branch FCEB agencies. Oh boy. Here's something that might get some Android people a little upset. Unsecure digital frames, photo frames, demonstrate Android ecosystem fragmentation. Researchers from Quokka, Quokka, have published a report detailing serious security issues in Android-based network-connected digital picture frame devices running the U-Haul app. That's U-H-A-L-E. U-Haul? Including Amazon's best-selling digital frame as of March 2025, Quokka determined that many UHAIL devices download and execute malware on boot and possess, quote, relaxed security controls and inadequate server identity verification, end quote, allowing local or remote takeover with little or no user interaction, as well as weaknesses that can be chained, quote, to gain initial access, escalate privileges, and maintain persistence. The devices are at risk of malware delivery, remote code execution, unauthorized access to private files and photos, compromise for lateral movement on a network, data exfiltration from networked devices, botnet recruitment, and attempts at phishing, social engineering, and I guess you can guess it on your own, but I might as well just finish the sentence, harassment. The researchers note that the studied devices, which all had an estimated sale of over 30,000 units in recent months, all run EOL Android 6, which, quote, remains prevalent in many budget and kiosk devices, end quote, especially in cases where hardware longevity often outweighs software currency. That's the end of the quote. However, the security issues in the report do not stem from known Android 6 vulnerabilities, but rather from flawed app implementations and security oversights introduced by OEMs, and that's a quote, such as UHAIL, and therefore, quote, could just as easily affect devices running newer Android versions if the same insecure practices are followed. In May 2025, Quokka contacted UHAIL's parent company, Zeasn, through multiple channels to attempt responsible disclosure, but received no response. Quokka contends this is, quote, a broader systemic problem in the software development and supply chain processes within this ecosystem of budget-friendly consumer-purpose devices, end quote. Emphasizing, quote, the critical need for rigorous and continuous security assessments in the face of deep fragmentation. I think, in my honest opinion, this should receive a moron of the podcast. Because this makes me want to scratch my head. I don't get what is... I don't get what is going on here. And I have a hunch that we will be bringing this up, and we will probably want to read this frames thing for discussion on our next Security Box program. I don't know who to blame for it. Is it Google? Is it UHail? Is it this other company who didn't respond? I expect the TSB group to go absolutely ape when they hear this. And, oh boy, this is just going to get very interesting. Some companies just make me wonder why I'm still in this business. Holy crap. Synovus, Synovis, concludes 2024 ransomware attack investigation and begins notification processes. Or notification process. Synovus, a company that provides pathology services to UK healthcare organizations, has completed a forensic investigation of the 2024 ransomware attack that resulted in the theft of patient data. Synovus did not pay the demanded ransom and has, quote, begun notifying the organizations, this one with an S, A-T-I-O-N-S, organizations whose data was affected, and expects, with an S, with the bracket or parentheses, to conclude this process by 21 November 2025. And by the way, this is how they write their dates. It's the 15th now, so at the date that I'm recording this, and we'll be releasing this well before the 21st, it'll be another week, and hopefully something good will come out of it. The company does not plan to contact affected individuals directly. Instead, the affected healthcare organizations are expected to notify affected patients. There has been no formal estimate of the number of people affected by the incident. The ransomware attack disrupted patient care at numerous NHS healthcare facilities and led to blood shortages earlier this year. King's College Hospital, NHS Trust, confirmed that the disruption caused by Synovus' supplier breach contributed to the death of a patient. This means, since 2020, with the ransomware groups going after the healthcare industry, and one whose name isn't coming to mind, and even if it did, it's probably been rebranded, so it doesn't matter, claiming and coming to fruition that they went back on their word because they said they were not going to go after the healthcare industry until the pandemic was over, led to at least two deaths. This makes it three that I'm aware of, and I'm not sure if there are any more. I'm happy that it hasn't had a high death rate, but whether we're at three or whether we're at four, that is too many because of some stupidity of a company who was probably sent something to get them to click to install this thing to begin with. I can't blame them per se. But the actors have no remorse on this industry. And we've seen this time and time and time again where they claim that they will not go after healthcare in regards to ransomware. But it continues to happen again and again and again, and it's proven right by people who've seen this for years. I was a volunteer at a hospital. I knew that a lot of this was slow going. I knew a lot of this was inequities where they ask for things and then they call back and they want something else, or they really don't know what they want. You know, I get it. They're all overworked. But there's no organization there. The problem now is you add ransomware to this on top of them going completely ape anyhow. This is going to get very interesting. And I don't see the ransomware pandemic stopping anytime soon. And even though the major pandemic is over, even though people say the pandemic is not over, COVID is still out there. Yes, COVID is still out there. I got it in September. It's going to be part of our life now. Just like the flu, just like a cold, just like an upper respiratory infection, and any other disease that is currently out there, we're not going to get rid of it. It's how we protect ourselves the best we can. Stay home if you really don't have anywhere to go. If you're vulnerable and your lungs are immune, wear a mask. You know, there may be other things that you can do to make sure that you are as safe as you possibly can. So, what I'm saying here is, while the pandemic is technically still here, it's over. We have to live our lives now the way we can. Some of us may have lung degradation now. I'm not saying I do because of my latest sickness, but it could be a possibility that my lungs could have some damage now, even though the COVID itself wasn't a big strain. It was lesser than it was before. The editor's notes are good here. 17 to 18 months is way too long, and questions are still out there. One of the notes said that we're being notified 17 or 18 months after the fact. After the fact. Did it take that long to do an investigation? They write. Operation Endgame takes down Ramathis, Venom Rat, and Elysium infrastructure in international effort. Between November 10th and 13th, law enforcement authorities dismantled infrastructure that was being used to support the Rhadamanthus Infostealer, the Venom Rat Remote Access Trojan, and the Elysium Botnet. Europol and Eurojust coordinated Operation Endgame with the help of law enforcement authorities in 11 countries and more than a dozen private organizations. In all, one person was arrested, 11 locations were searched, 20 domains were seized, and more than 1,000 servers were taken down or disrupted. The malware operations had infected hundreds of thousands of computers and stolen millions of account credentials. The operations involved authorities in Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Germany, Greece, Lithuania, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and the United States, with support from Cryptolimus, Shadow Server, and Roll Letter, Spy Cloud, CrimeU, Proofpoint, CrowdStrike, Lumen, Abuse.ch, and I could have put the grade 3 there, but okay, missed one. Have I Been Pwned, Spam House, DIVD, Trellix, and Bitdefender. Great job, group. Neely writes, the data included about 2 million impacted email addresses, 7.8 million passwords, and 100,000 crypto wallets. Not a bad time to check your status on haveibeenpwned.com. That's haveibeenpwned.com. Or, here's a new one for you. Polity.nl, that's politie.nl, then it's slash, and then it's check your hack. CHECKYOURHACK to see if your email is impacted. We don't know if this is one person or many, says Frost. This Operation Endgame has taken down a lot of infrastructure, and it's always a good thing because it slows down the actor, makes them rebuild, or maybe rethinks whether they really want to continue this or not. Maybe it's not a long thought, but they will be disrupted for a time, spending money getting resources that they lost. And if people are arrested, then they have to go recruiting to get their enterprise, if you want to call it an enterprise, back the way it was. Some have failed, others are just as good. We are on page 17 now. This is the editorial board of Sans News Bites. We've been asked to go back to a list. Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elge, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spitzner, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescatore, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vatronaut, and William Hugh Murray. I am Jared Reimer. Thank you so much for listening to my thoughts, the Sans News Bites for the 14th. The next scheduled newsletter is scheduled to be on Tuesday, the 18th, and we will be getting that out as quickly as we can. So hopefully our weather will be much more tame, but we must keep our weather alerts up in case we get alerts stating that we need to leave, although the one alert I got was for the burn areas, but you never know. I hope that everyone enjoys the program, even though we've been dealing with weather issues today. And we will see you on another edition of the program next time. And until then, thanks so much for listening.